Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Ann Holcomb. Ann is the Executive Director of Food for People, our local Humboldt County Food Bank. And there's a term that comes up a lot with professionals that I've heard that I think may cause some confusion with the general public. And I was hoping you could explain that. And that is food insecurity. When I first heard it, I really didn't understand the term.
It can be a confusing term. And essentially, it's a term that USDA came up with a number of years ago. And if you are food secure, that it means that you have access at all times to enough food to maintain an active and healthy life. So conversely, if you are food insecure, it means that you're at risk for not having access to enough food. And that's through regular means like being able to go to a grocery store and purchase what you need rather than being reliant on food banks or soup kitchens or something like that.
And what are the demographics of people here in Humboldt County that are food insecure?
Well, we have about 20% of our total population living at or below federal poverty level income-wise. So that gives you part of the snapshot. And then a lot of people, because our economy has been really uneven here for a number of years as timber and fishing industries have declined, there are an awful lot of people who are piecing together jobs, and they may have one or two part-time jobs, and the wages might not be quite enough to lead an affordable lifestyle to afford the rent and utilities and so forth. So any little blip can kind of send them over the edge and force them to seek out some additional assistance.
Let's talk about the CalFresh program. I'm kind of interested in the EBT cards. And these are cards that people can use in the store. I guess it's kind of equivalent to what we've always known as food stamps when they actually used to be stamps. Is that right?
Yes. And it functions very similarly to a debit card. It looks like a debit card. And that's been one of the real beauties of instituting the EBT card, is that it removes the stigma as people are checking out at the grocery store. Folks can't immediately identify you as being the recipient of food stamps, for example. So it's done a lot to reduce fraud within the system. It's a lot harder to trade and so forth. But, you know, the biggest thing is that people feel more comfortable when they have to use that EBT card at the store.
Now, I understand that people can use the EBT card at the farmer's market. How does that work?
Well, it's a wonderful system, and the North Coast Growers Association farmer's markets all have the point of sale machines, and all an individual has to do is to look for the market manager's booth, which is usually pretty easily identifiable. And we've supplied them all with signage for EBT also so that folks know exactly where to go. They decide how much they want to spend at the market. They have their card swiped, and they receive wooden tokens that they can take around to the different booths, to the different farmers. And that way, each farmer doesn't have to have the machine.
Uh-huh. And now there's a program going on that's kind of an incentive program to try and help people to use that card more often.
And we're really excited about this. We've been really pushing the use of EBT at farmers markets for the last several years, and we've seen a 40% increase in usage over the past 2 years. So I think it was about $11,000 was spent at the NCGA farmers markets last year, which is wonderful. And a couple of months ago, I was watching a network news program, and they had a story about a group called Wholesome Wave, and they were based on the East Coast. It was started by a restaurant owner whose son developed juvenile diabetes, and they started looking at how they could change their eating habits to support their son. And he quickly realized that there were very few farmers markets in low-income neighborhoods, and a lot of folks didn't realize they could use their EBT card at farmers markets. So it became a promotional adventure. And they decided to incentivize the use of EBT at farmers markets, which was really a brilliant way to go about it. So often we tend to penalize people and say, no, you can't use this for that, or you can't do that. And I think in many ways, if you say, no, look at this added benefit we're going to give you. And essentially, it's a top-up program so that if a person here locally goes to one of the NCGA-sponsored farmers markets and they purchase $10 worth of tokens, we will match that with an additional $5 in tokens.
That's so it's wonderful.
It's a wonderful incentive for them to purchase more fresh fruits and vegetables and support our local farmers. And all those funds stay right here in our local community, which is even better.
What I really like, too, is sometimes you just need a little something that gets you over the hump, you know, of doing something for the very first time. Once you've done it, though, you go, oh, this was easy. This was simple. I can do this again. And then you make it part of your regular regular routine. So having that incentive kind of gives you the extra boost you need maybe to do it the very first time.
Right. And a lot of folks don't realize that they can use their EBT card to purchase plant starts as well to grow their own fruits and vegetables. So that's been a wonderful boon for the farmers in the springtime especially. And it's a great way to stretch your limited dollars and stretch your food budget. And we're really grateful. We've worked for several months trying to put together a grant through Wholesome Wave to support our efforts here. And actually, the state of California's Food and Agriculture Department was able to receive through USDA a specialty crop grant. And that's supporting part of this effort, sort of the infrastructure part. And then a grant was awarded through Roots of Change here in California. So they provided the incentive fund. So we're working with both entities here to see how this goes. This is a pilot year.
So it sounds like you've got a government program and a nonprofit working together.
Yes.
That's
how unique
amazing.
Is that?
That's pretty amazing. Now let's talk about the free produce markets. That's really exciting to me.
Well, and this is our sixth year of sponsoring those. And we offer them from this year, it's June through October. Last year it was May through October. It took a month for some of our partners to put the pieces together this year. But on the second Tuesday of the month, they're in Garberville and Redway. Garberville is from 10 until 12, and then in Redway from 12:30 until 2. On the third Wednesday of the month, they're at Fortuna Community Services, and that's at 2331 Ronerville Road from 11:30 to 1:30. And then in Eureka, they are the third Thursday of the month from 12 to 2 in our parking lot at Food for People. And we've tried to make these as much like a farmer's market as possible. We have live music. We have taste testing of some of the fruits and vegetables that are being offered. Sometimes our partners from the community and public health and other organizations come and do some tabling because it's a great outreach opportunity. And we typically see 500 or 600 people in that two-hour period.
Wow.
And are able to give out, on average, between 7,000 and 8,000 pounds of fresh produce.
That's terrific. And where does that come from? Is that from local farmers or is that from gleaning programs?
Well, it's a variety of sources. Primarily three sources. There's one program based in Sacramento called Donate, Don't Dump, and that's typically market surplus. It may be greens that have already been processed and bagged, for example, but it also can include some wonderful stone fruit and things like that. And the biggest source is a program called Farm to Family that's administered by the California Association of Food Banks, and that program is entering its sixth year. And this year, they're projected to have distributed 125 million pounds of food.
Wow.
And it's all fresh fruits and produce.
That's amazing.
And essentially, they're partnering with the growers and the packing houses. And a lot of what would be considered culls or second quality that they used to till under, they're finding a real benefit to being able to donate that. And in some cases, they charge a few cents a pound. So it's been a little bit of added income for the growers. So the food banks and our clients are benefiting.
Everybody wins.
And then we also have some food that comes through local gleaning efforts as well.
The gleaning is interesting to me. I have a friend who, they have an apple tree, and they called Food for People, and they sent people out and took all those apples, and away they went, and everybody felt great. That's such a neat thing. My mom and I were talking about, I was visiting her, and we were talking about when you see a tree that where the fruit is dropping off the tree, it pains us.
Yes, I agree.
So that's just a great way. People can just call Food for People, and you'll send somebody out to glean the tree.
Our local food resources coordinator, Jason Whitley, oversees that program, but he has a great cadre of volunteers that go out with him to do the gleaning. Advance notice is appreciated, so we can assemble our volunteers and give them some notice of how to dress and where we'll be going that day and so forth. But last year, we received over 80,000 pounds of locally gleaned produce, and that's from a combination of folks who participate in our Plant a Row for the Hungry campaign. They plant a little extra in their gardens and donate as the extra is coming in, and folks who do have those fruit trees or orchards, and particularly that we have a lot of seniors who can't harvest the fruit themselves, and they hate to see it go to waste, and it can attract a lot of animals. You may not want the extra deer and bear and so forth in your backyard. So it really is a win-win situation, and we can provide people with a receipt for a tax credit if they wish. But I have to say, our local farmers are also incredibly generous. We work with over 40 different farms locally who invite us to come out and glean what's extra. So it's just been a wonderful partnership all the way around.
Well, it's great to hear all the wonderful things that Food for People is doing for our community. Thank you so much for coming in and visiting with us today, Anne. Thank
you.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.